Good morrow!
I'm Beverly Jean.
I'm Allison Powell.
And welcome back to Shaky Understanding. Today, we are reading Taming of the Shrew. We're out of the histories and into the comedies again.
Because it's so hilarious.
It's hilarious. It is definitely not dark or tragic.
Or racist. I mean sexist. Whatever. It's fine.
It could be racist. It depends on the casting. But it's interesting you gleaned that from the book. Anyway, here, in case you have never read this or never seen it, here is some Shakespeare abridged. This play starts not in the play at all, but on a street corner. Honestly, it's as normal as I'm making it sound. So there's this guy, Christopher Sly, and he's a beggar or poor guy, and this hostess of the hotel inn he's staying at is like, you can't just not pay for stuff. He's like, oh, screw you. I'm just going to go to sleep on the street. And he goes to sleep. And then this lord comes in and he's like, oh, look at that beggar sleep on the street. You know, it'd be so funny. What if we put him in my like rich house, put him in my clothes and had everyone come in and treat him like a lord? Wouldn't that be funny, hunter guy who's hunting with me? The hunter guy is like, yeah, that'd be so funny. And so they do it and they dress up the lord's page boy as a woman, and they're gonna make that his wife and all that stuff. And so Christopher Sly, the beggar guy, wakes up and he's like, what? And everyone's like, oh, thank God you're awake. You've been in this crazy dream state for 15 years or 5 years or something. I don't remember. It really doesn't matter. Oh my gosh, you thought you were a beggar, but really you're a lord. Here's your wife. She's missed you all this time. And he doesn't believe them. And then when they say he has a wife, he suddenly is like, oh, maybe it is true. They go, hey, we also have a play to show you, so here's the play. And then, boom, Taming of the Shrew starts. And you're like, okay. So that's called an induction. In the actual content of this play, Taming of the Shrew, we start in Italy, in Padua. And Lucentio comes in to town with his servants Tranio and Biondello. And he's there to study. And as he comes, he, like, sees this scene, so no one sees him, he's like off to the side, but he sees this scene with Baptista, who is father to two sisters, Bianca, who's fair and virtuous, and Caterina, who is angry and shrewish, and all of these suitors, one named Gremio, who's super old and rich, and Hortensio, who just seems kind of lame, who are both trying to woo Bianca to be their wife because they're so in love with her. And Baptista goes, I've had it, you guys. No one can marry Bianca until Caterina or Kate or Catherine is married. And everyone's like, what? Who would marry her? She's so mean and she's a shrew. And then she does some things to prove that that is indeed true. And he goes, nope, my mind is made up. The only people who can hang out with Bianca now are her teachers. And you guys can try and bring your suit to me personally, but no one can hang out with Bianca except them. And then they go off. And then Lucentio goes, oh my God, Tranio, I'm so in love with that Bianca girl. She is so pretty. We need to figure out a way to marry her. And Tranio's like, yo, I got a good idea. And Lucentio's like, yo, me too. And turns out they have the same idea, but really I think Tranio is the only one with the idea. And Lucentio is just a very simple guy, but that's just me. But they decide that Tranio is going to dress as Lucentio and talk to Bianca's father and say how he wants to marry Bianca. And Lucentio is going to dress as a Latin teacher named Cambio and teach Bianca, quote unquote, while wooing her in disguise. Then we see Petruchio, our main man, and he comes into town with his servants, Grumio, not to be confused with Gremio, who's the suitor to Bianca. Grumio is the servant to Petruchio. Petruchio is an old friend of Hortensio, so he goes and says hello to him, and Hortensio's like, oh, I really like this girl. She seems super cool, but her crazy mean older sister has to be married first, and Petruchio goes, oh, good news. I'm in town because I want to make a rich wife so I can live better because my dad just died. And he's like, all right, that sounds cool. Why don't you come marry her, and we'll help pay for it. And so they go together to Baptista's house, and Hortensio also says how he's going to disguise himself as a music teacher named Litio and woo Bianca in disguise as well. So Petruchio goes, hey, I brought you this music teacher. I thought your daughters could use him, and I want to woo your daughter, Catherine. And Baptista's like, all right, are you sure? Are you for sure sure you want to woo her? And he's like, yes, bring her to me. I will woo her now. I would like to marry her. And he's like, all right, cool. So Petruchio and Catherine have this scene where they spar with words and sometimes kisses. And Baptista comes back in and Petruchio convinces her father that she's in love with him and has agreed to wed him and he will be married to her this Sunday. And her dad's like, okay. And he's like, trust me, she's just not showing her affection in public. It's something we talked about earlier, which is not true. So then at the wedding, Petruchio shows up late in crazy clothes and is like super rude to not only Catherine, but literally everyone. And Catherine even has this speech where she is so upset. She's like, he's not even going to show up. I can't believe this is the only suitor I've had. This is so sad. And she's just like heartbroken, almost kind of. And he makes them leave their wedding early before they even party. And she tries to like put her foot down and be like, no, we're staying. He goes, and he makes up all this stuff. And he's like, oh, everyone's trying to fight us. And he just grabs her and like escapes with her. So then in Petruchio's country house, they end up together. And Petruchio has all of these things set up to quote unquote tame the shrew, Catherine. And he does all of these things. He doesn't let her eat or drink. He doesn't let her sleep. All of his servants are like making crazy things. Somebody brings her this dress and hat that she likes, but he says, oh, these are horrible, until she finally starts agreeing with him. And then he starts giving her other stuff. In Padua, Lucentio is flirting with Bianca through sweet, sweet Ovid Metamorphoses translations. And she ends up liking him enough to agree to elope with him. Meanwhile, Tranio is in disguise wooing for him and says to Baptista, like, trust me, I can get her a great dowry. And Gremio, who's super rich, is like, oh, what about this dowry? And fake Lucentio as Tranio outbids him, but goodness knows that they actually have that money. Tranio is just trying to do the best he can for his master. But Baptista says, great, that dowry sounds good to me, as long as you can get Vincentio, Lucentio's father's, approval for that dowry, so I can be assured that I'll get that money. And Tranio is like, oh no, Vincentio doesn't know anything about this. I don't think he'll agree to it. I'm just going to find someone who I can disguise as Vincentio and convince Baptista that it's it, that he will get that dowry. Tranio and Lucentio find this old merchant in town, and they convince him that there's actually like a death sentence for merchants that come from the place he came from. Actually, similar to Comedy of Errors, he basically says that law is law in Padua. And the only way he will be fine and safe to do his merchanting is to play the role of his father, Vincentio, and just tell this guy Baptista that if he could help him out with this whole marriage thing, it'll be cool. And the merchant's like, all right, I don't want to die, so all that sounds good to me. And so he convinces Baptista that this is his father and that everything's good with the dowry, and they go start drinking and having a good old time. So Catherine and Petruchio we see again, and now Petruchio's like, you have to agree to all these crazy things I'm saying or else we're not going to go to your sister's wedding. And Catherine finally agrees and starts playing his game and basically being like, the sun is so bright. And he's like, no, it's the moon. She's like, all right, the moon is so bright. And they have this whole little thing. And then they meet Vincentio, but the actual Vincentio, Lucentio's actual father, who's like, hey, I'm just going to visit my son right now. And they go, oh, great, we're about to become relatives. Your son's getting married to my sister. And he's like, wait, what? So they all go to Padua together. And Vincentio and the merchant have this facing off of being like, no, I'm Vincentio. No, I'm Vincentio, blah, blah, blah. And all is revealed, sort of. And then Lucentio and Bianca come in and go, hey, we already got married. We did it. I'm actually the real Lucentio. Sorry, Baptista, I had to lie to you, but I wooed your daughter and she loves me. So it's like totally chill, right? And here's some money. I assume it's the same as the dowry. It might not be. We don't really know. And Baptista's like, all right, I guess, you know, marriage is marriage and we Christians, so you marry. The other side plot is Hortensio, the suitor who's kind of lame, ends up deciding that Bianca's a waste of his time because she's super into this Latin teacher guy. So he's going to go off and marry this widow who's always been giving him the eye. But first, he's going to learn to tame shrews at Petruchio's house. So he's been there watching this whole taming thing happen. So anyway, they end up at his wedding to the widow. And all the men are talking, all the ladies are in the other room. And the men are like, oh, my wife was the best, blah, blah, blah. Petruchio goes, hey, you know what? I bet my wife will be more obedient than both of yours. And they're like, okay, we'll take that bet. Duh. Whatever. And each of them respectively call in their wife. And they try and just call them into the room. That's the only bet. So Hortensio calls in his widow wife. And she's like, okay, you can come to me if you really need me. Lucentio calls in Bianca. And she pretty much says the same thing. And then Petruchio calls in Catherine. And she comes in and says, what do you need from me? And he's like, ha ha ha. He goes, Kate, bring the other wives in. And why don't you tell them what they should be doing for their husbands. She has this whole speech about submitting to your husband and that he is your protector and blah, blah, blah. And then they all go off together happily, sort of.
And we never see old Sly again.
Yeah, he shows up in one act break and he's like, wow, this play's really interesting. And then that's it. So we have a very special guest today.
We do.
Newlywived Bianca.
Hi. Welcome. Hi. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Okay. Unleash the floodgate, Allison.
I mean, I have just so many feelings. But the first thing that I'll say is just about the induction. It seems very meta for the time. And it's kind of ahead of its time in this idea, not of having a play within a play, because we see that in Midsummer and we see that in Hamlet, we see that in a few other things, but this idea of like, we're gonna say, oh, this is the real world, which isn't the real world because we're on stage, but then we're gonna watch something, but that's gonna take up a longer, it's basically the whole thing. So that's just all I was gonna say, but you said you did some research on that. So let's just kind of address that and then we can go into all my feels.
No, I was going to make a joke about being aggressive because we've just listened to this play. It makes me want to be a little aggressive.
Oh.
I know, but I can't because it's against my nature.
You can always go against your nature. It just takes some time and practice. So inductions. I did a little bit of research on this because I've apparently never read this play. I've seen it and been in it.
Yeah, and I think people don't do this part when they do
show. I've never seen this.
Now, I was thinking about it because also I was texting you and I was like, this lord is so mean and you were so confused.
I was.
And I'm like, this guy who wants to dress up this other guy and he's being such a douche.
The whole concept of an induction is actually not originated by Shakespeare. It's apparently done in other plays.
Oh, yeah.
But the whole concept, the like definition of it, is it's its own little baby play meant to sort of comment on or moralize or show the themes that you're going to see in your bigger play. But I think this is the only one where Shakespeare really does it. Some people have said that Midsummer's could be it with Pyramus and Thisbe.
Yeah, Midsummer and Hamlet. Both kind of do that.
But I think you're too deep in the play at that point. I think then it's just a play within a play. It's different.
It's still reflecting the themes.
But I think it's more of a dramatic choice than like a dramatic object that you're using for a purpose. So inductions are basically talking about the themes. And if you're an improv nerd like I am, it basically is like doing an analogous scene to your first beat in a Herald, which is just like a fancy way of saying you're doing kind of the same thing that was funny and the theme of your first scene in a different place or way.
Cool. What I'm saying he does a bad job of is this induction does not really reflect the themes of the play.
Doesn't seem to have a purpose.
Well, some people would disagree. I did some research because I was like, what is this? And some people think it comments on the themes of the surroundings and how people treat us indicate how we act.
Also, there's...
Oh!
Yeah. So,
all right.
And the whole idea that marriage, like, not only changes a person, but it's also something people use for their own benefit.
Hmm.
There also is a theme of disguise
throughout
the whole play. And
often, it's the only way people can tell how they really feel. In this one, it's mostly used to get around, like, red tape. Everyone is trying to tell they feel out of disguise, but they can only get to it by disguising themselves.
Yes.
Except Kate Petruchio. Because Kate speaks how she feels and does what she wants.
You know, I have to say that I think Bianca does as well. Excuse me, myself. I think because there are parts where I have a couple men wooing me, and they think that it's okay to be making decisions for me, and I stop them, and I say, no, this is my decision. It's up to me, and so I don't have a shrewish attitude the way cat, my sister does, and I don't yell and hit people, but I do think that I'm still quite smart.
Yeah.
Yes.
And recognize my surroundings, but I think I'm also I'm a little more attuned to how a woman should act.
Yeah, and we definitely see that in your first meeting with Lucentio when he's in disguise as a Latin teacher, and he reveals his feelings for you through your lesson. And you respond with, listen, I don't know you yet, but I'm not disinterested. You basically swipe right on him. You're like, I'll consider it. Yeah. We'll see how this chat goes.
I'm taking this under advisement.
Maybe we'll meet for coffee in 5 weeks. I don't know.
I recognize I'm a catch.
Yeah.
And I have options, unlike my sister. So, yeah, I'm often taken as a dumb woman because I'm tossing.
Yes.
One thing I always notice with Bianca in the text itself, but also in productions, is she's definitely not a dumb woman.
Right.
I would actually call her sly. I would call you sly. I'm sorry if that's offensive. But you definitely fight back, not physically, but emotionally or with words when you're fighting with Catherine in that one scene. You're like, oh, you're just jealous? Oh, now I see you're just making fun of me. You're making fun of me this whole time, blah, blah, blah. Those are both, like, personal attacks. And then, in the end, after you're married, there's a change in your disposition where you're like, oh, Lucentio, like, you can find your own time to get to me. Instead of being like, I can't wait to get married, which is, like, your whole through line through this whole story is, like, wonder when I'm going to get married. I guess it's now.
Yeah. So it's interesting how my story compared to my sister's is kind of opposite. I recognize how I'm supposed to be in order to get wed, and then once I am wed, I think I have
you do your thing.
My power. Where my sister is the opposite. She feels much more secure in being single and being her own person, but something Petruchio does makes her change her mind, which is strange because she loves me and nothing I could say would change her mind.
Right.
Nor my father, but
Right.
Granted, so, you know.
Well, I mean,
if
when
we had known to starve her, beat her, and not let her sleep, then we would have tried that earlier.
I was just going to say, when you enter into an abusive relationship, you know, things change.
I did want to note that I do not support any abusive behavior that's done in this, but we are going to talk about it because it happens in the play.
It's quite unfortunate.
But just so y'all know.
Did your sister ever tell you what was going on in her home life?
She couldn't. She couldn't talk to anybody.
Oy.
There's no text messages back then.
Yeah. She couldn't.
Can't you send a raven?
She couldn't eat. She couldn't eat food. She couldn't get dressed, let alone try to talk to me or my dad. But I don't know that if we had known, we would have done anything to stop it.
Yeah,
I think that's what's really unfortunate. Is we're kind of like, oh, cool. She's
you're
better now.
Well, I don't even know if it's you're better. It's you're not my problem anymore.
Yeah.
You know how, like, you have friends that maybe are not the best? Yeah. And, like, they end up going away, but they're in a bad situation. I mean, you still care about them, but you're also like, ugh.
I mean,
I don't know how
was,
to help you.
Yeah,
I don't know how to help
me,
you out of this. Right.
And
she was
preventing me from getting married.
Right.
Right.
From my suitors. And that's all I wanted was to get married. So.
Start your life, because that's where you found your power.
Right. And so it was kind of in my favor what happened. But I think it's unfortunate that she was so strong before and so witty and cunning, and she lost it. But it's strange because when Petruchio and Catherine first met, it seemed like there was so much chemistry in the way she was, and they got along that way, and so it made me, as her sister, really excited for her that maybe she actually found someone that's good for her.
Gonna meet.
Meet her halfway. That will kind of challenge her and let her be who she is, but that he's so wrapped up in his own ego, in his own win, like he wants to win more than win her heart, truly, because he doesn't really win her heart in any way.
Yeah.
And, like, that's one thing I wanted to talk about. Like, this play is, I think the text is really weak in how it tells the story, which can make it fun for theater people to do because they can make their own take on it. They can try and make it a love story. But I just don't think it's very supported by the text. I think it works best when you treat it as this, like, crazy comedy, like a farce, basically.
Yes.
And just make the whole thing slapstick. Yes. And, like, nobody's a good person and that's okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. I was just going to say, when I was reading it, there are some scenes that I feel are the most obviously comical or sitcom-y of some of the other comedies that we've read. 12th Night is great. Comedy of Errors is great. But the comedy is smart. You have to be really on it. And some of these scenes, you're like, oh, I get this. I get why this is funny. It's not a lot of effort. Mm-hmm. But later on, as I kept reading, it's also a play that you could take way too seriously. Yeah. And you could turn it into a Lifetime daytime soap movie very easily. So I think that is because the text is flimsy. Yeah.
I think this one has the same issue I have with Merchant of Venice.
Yeah.
Where it's like a little weird and a little off, and maybe it's because we're in a modern era and it's a different time, but the only thing that this doesn't have that Merchant has is Merchant has some of the most beautiful text. And this has very pithy and great scenes that are fun and fast, but not beautiful
text. I think some of the text between Catherine and Petruchio is
in particular
can be lovely. They have their moments, but then they both come back to reality of their situation, which is like the saddest part is that they could be together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they could work, and they choose not to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know, maybe.
I don't know. I feel like Beatrice and Benedict.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like, you get that. You get that it's going to work. You get that it's going to be kind of this antagonistic, but in a loving sort of way. And their relationship will be the better for their combativeness and challenging each other and growing with each other. And this starts out that way.
Yeah.
And just completely devolves into an abusive power struggle.
Well, actually, I think another part of Much Ado that really fills out what this play doesn't have is that they have a past together.
Yeah.
And they knew each other before. Like, this guy's a stranger and he starts acting like this. It's different when
if a guy's being a dick when you don't even know him, he's definitely going to be a dick for life.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you bring up Much Ado because I kept finding while reading that there were such similarities, especially with Hero and Bianca and Claudio and Lucento. But it's like, this one just went wrong.
Yeah.
You know?
Well,
it doesn't have that background work. It doesn't.
Yeah.
Right. But also, it went wrong to us. It goes wrong to us. I personally, honestly, I can't think of any justification for continuing to perform this show without somehow modifying and either making it just a full-on farce or modifying something so that it doesn't seem to endorse abusive relationships and beat down your strong, independent women until you starve them into submission.
Yes.
But in the time period, I suppose it was hilarious and the guys are like, yeah, bro, dudes all the way, like bros before hoes, man.
But I actually think that, like, the men aren't great in this either. I don't think it's...
Oh, no, but I mean the men in the audience.
No, I know, but I think even they would be like, that dude sucks.
Yeah.
Like, there's no one that's good
in
this.
He's so arrogant. So arrogant. He's not a likable guy. I mean, he's funny.
That's the other thing, though. He's not very, like, smart either.
No. Well, he's manipulative and smart enough to figure out how to get her.
And he's witty enough to keep up with her.
Yeah. Right. But I just wanted there to be a scene of like, haha, I've been tricking you this whole time just to show you how awful it is to live with someone who's shrewish and always disagreeing with you. And then for her to be like, oh, that's so sweet. You've taught me so much. Like, now let's grow together and never act like asses again. And that never happened.
I think the main reason I was really disappointed was the fact that I had a lot more faith in Mr. Shakespeare.
Yeah.
In terms of his ability to...
tell your story.
Sympathize with women, to see their power and their strength. And we see such strong women, and even in you know, Othello. Amelia has this beautiful speech about what it is to be a wife and how we are expected to be certain things, but then, you know, the outcome doesn't come out a certain way, and this play does the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, where was his head out
when yes, that's what I want to know. That's what I want to know. How did his wife take it, and or had his wife left him at this point? Mm-hmm. And how did the Queen of England take it? Queen Elizabeth, the Virgin Queen, how did she take this play that's all about you need a man to survive and you need a lord to be ruling over you? I really just want to find her diary from, like, the night that she goes to the premiere of this. And I dream in my mind that it says something in a slightly more eloquent British fashion of, like, screw you, Bill Shakespeare.
No, that's a good point. I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, England at this time is being ruled by a very strong, independent woman who remains single
for that reason.
Her entire life, for that reason. So exactly, so she doesn't have to submit to a man.
Yes.
And I don't know, like, is this a political statement he's trying to make about, like, we need a king in England? I don't know.
But that doesn't seem like him. That's what's weird.
I know.
Maybe it's that, I mean, that's why everyone is a bad person. He's saying what could happen if she were to get a man, like, but he's clearly, like, way more stupid than her. Go.
Okay. So, two things that just popped into my mind. One, I feel like what we're reading maybe is just a draft of a play. And he's like, no, it wasn't ready. Why did you make me people perform it? I needed to do another rewrite. Or there's always, of course, the controversy or conspiracy theory or whatever that not all of Shakespeare's plays were written by Shakespeare. And usually, I feel like, one, I haven't done enough research, so I can't really have an opinion on that. But two, they're probably all written by the same guy. Like, it's hard enough for things to survive from that era. It's unlikely that you would have pieced it all together. But maybe this one is written by somebody who's like, I know what Bill would write.
Yeah.
And did it. And then we just think it is, but it's not.
He saw, like, Much Ado and, like, Hamlet and was like, let's just make this crazy.
Yes! But exactly.
I mean, to jump off of that, I didn't find the writing in this as eloquent, as it didn't capture me the way mm-hmm. he usually does.
Yep.
Yeah, there weren't a lot of metaphors, there wasn't a lot of poetry, and the only time anybody has a moment of discovery is really at the end when Catherine's, like, telling her ladies.
Yeah.
Well,
go.
I did want to bring up this one part, because I was in this play once, I played Catherine. I had these feelings on this play already. I already didn't like this play, but it's just what my school was doing, and I was very excited to do Shakespeare, so I auditioned. But we talked a lot about how to make her story truthful and real and, like, have them fall in love, which is what we chose to do. And we made it like they were, like, playing games together, and you were saying I need that moment of, like, where he's really sweet and nice,
mm-hmm.
and we made that moment with this, and there's, like, one other time where you can kind of do it, but in Act 4, Scene 3, he says, we're going to go to your father's house. Our purses shall be proud, our garments poor, for 'tis the mind that makes the body rich. As the sun breaks through the darkest clouds, so honor purest in the meanest habit. Which is him saying, it doesn't matter what you look like or what people think of you, it's about who you are inside. And, like, if you say that really genuinely, it's, like, a little bit there, but it's not really supported by the text.
I know. And what did your dad? Like, what did your dad say at the end of the show?
So the funniest story is my father apparently knew nothing about Taming the Shrew, which blows my mind still. And he came to the play, and afterwards he was like, "Never let a boy treat you that way. That is so horrible. I hated watching him be mean to you." And I was like, "Oh my god, Dad."
I know.
It's okay. Luckily, this is the same guy who I played opposite of in As You Like It, so he's like, I know it's not him, at least. So I was like, great, cool.
So, my question is, why Do we need to keep telling the story?
We don't.
We don't. People just like to take takes on it. Because I think it's more malleable than some of his other plays. Bianca.
Yes.
What was it like growing up together?
Hard. Very difficult.
Yeah.
I think as her younger sister, I had no leverage with her. She was often the boss. She often tormented me. And I think what made it worse was that my father clearly favored me.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
So she, I think, often was really jealous of me.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will think that a lot of it started because your father favored you.
Yes. And so she was jealous of me, and I mean, I always had boys liking me, the thing is that my sister is also very pretty. Mm-hmm. She's beautiful.
And she was just like rough and tumble.
So smart, but too smart for her own good, I think. And especially for the times where brains are not valued in a woman.
Yeah.
Right. It is not a good thing to be really smart. Mm-hmm. It's in fact, I believe my suitors like me best when I'm a little ditzy, when I don't quite understand what's going on, when they're tricking me with disguises and everything, and I fall for it. That's when they like me the most.
So did you know he was in a disguise? Did you know he wasn't really a Latin teacher?
I do figure it out. I think it's a question of when and where do I play along?
Did you know the whole time, and were you just like, this Latin teacher is kind of cute?
I figured it out also because I do like him, and
he's pretty hot.
This is the only way that my dad would let us hang out and do stuff. So, you know, it's possible I was even in on the secret from the beginning.
Yeah. Do you think if he had just been a Latin teacher, you would have still liked him? But since he's a rich lord?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah.
Aw, you love him.
Yeah.
Aw, that's so nice.
I'm all heart, you know?
That's very real.
Yeah.
It's true.
Oh, the only thing I wanted to say about the induction was the other cool thing is how we were talking about, like, marriage change of persons and surroundings and how people treat you, indicate how you act. Sly, the beggar, is talking in, like, free prose. Mm-hmm. And when he suddenly has the question of, maybe I am a lord, after they tell him he's married, he starts talking in verse. So he starts acting more like a nobleman.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So modern-day adaptations?
Probably the best one,
yes.
I would say. Like,
yes!
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I hate all the others.
Ten Things I Hate About You.
Jinx. Is a modern day adaptation of Taming of the Shrew. And it's really excellent. A young Heath Ledger, Julia Stiles, and Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
As a baby.
And then who's the dad? What's his name?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, he's in everything.
He's in everything.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. And who plays Bianca. She's...
Oh, I don't know her.
She's in a decent amount for the times.
Yeah.
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 Goodness gracious. It is so good.
It's really good, and I think that's the only way to get away with some of these plot points. Mm-hmm. And also, I mean, setting it in high school, and they just do a good job of
showing her sensitivity with her anger.
Right. And that's what I was going to say. And in the film version, in 10 Things I Hate About You, their relationship is... like that romantic comedy love-hate thing that you want it so badly to be in the play, and it's just not supported by the text. But if you make them these high schoolers and just kind of this whole thing, it's great. And she never is abused. She never gets beaten into submission. It's more that she realizes, I do like this guy, and I've been pushing him away because I've been too proud to admit it. It's almost like Pride and Prejudice.
Yeah.
It's interesting. In 10 Things I Hate About You... Kat is, she's very smart, but you see that she is closed off to wanting friends and wanting to party and have a life. Instead, she's like almost too grown up and she's above everybody else.
Right.
And so it's good. It's a good thing that she meets Patrick because he softens her heart and he opens her up. Mm-hmm. And so there's her journey. She grows as into a better person.
Right. Mm-hmm. This high school romantic comedy has more depth of character than this than the original Shakespeare.
Yes, for sure.
And he learns lessons.
Yes.
He changes.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what's important in a good production of Taming of the Shrew. But again, I don't think it's in the text.
It's not. Kiss Me, Kate is also a modern adaptation musical.
Yeah, there's a Cole Porter musical called Kiss Me, Kate, where the log line is two, an ex-husband and an ex-wife end up starring in the same Taming of the Shrew play together and have to deal with that. And it works really well.
I was going to say, I've never actually listened to the soundtrack, but I really want to now. That sounds like a fantastic plot.
So I watched the movie as a kid, and I didn't like the movie, though lots of people really do. But we did the production in my high school, and I got to see it in a production.
You did, in high school, you did Kiss Me, Kate and Taming of the Shrew.
No, I did Taming of the Shrew in college.
Okay.
So it was different.
There was a theme. There was a theme that year.
My director just got divorced. that would be a cry for help. No, we did Kiss Me, Kate, and I was like, oh, I always remember this movie being really lame and bad. And she was like, I know, the movie sucks, but trust me, look at this thing. And I watched it, and it was so good.
Yeah.
It is so good, and it's so funny, and it's so smart. And like Bianca, the girl who plays her, mm-hmm. is like a philanderer. And so she's like,
yeah.
I'm always true to you in my fashion, but if this guy has a car, I'm going to go to his car on a date.
Any Tom, Dick, or Harry.
And then like, her song in the play is Any Tom, Dick, or Harry Will Do. And it's like a lot of dick jokes. It's so great.
And she
it's
tap
so good.
Dances. She's like this great so tap good. Dancer. Yeah, it's good. I did Kiss Me, Kate in community theater.
Oh, that's amazing.
It was, it was very fun, and it's very funny, and it's fun because you learn about the play, and because the same thing's happening at the same time, they're going through
amazing.
The things that their characters
but again,
are going through.
Like we were talking about Much Ado, they have a past together.
Right.
And so,
so
you can
it work.
Buy it better, because it's like a reigniting of a flame.
Yes.
Yeah.
And she has a song called I Hate Men, which I sing a lot when I'm real bad.
Yeah.
And then the other one I wanted to talk about is one we've talked about before. There's this thing called Shakespeare Retold that the BBC did real quick. And it's Shakespeare plays. They took out the language and the verses, but they told the story.
Yeah.
And this one stars, this is so bad, I don't know either of their names, I just know their roles.
Okay.
The guy who plays Count Adhemar in A Knight's Tale, he's like the bad guy in A Knight's Tale.
Okay.
And then the girl who plays Moaning Myrtle in Harry Potter.
Okay. All right.
They play Catherine and Petruchio, and it is the best version of that relationship I've ever seen while still, like, not being 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yeah.
It's
Do
so
they make
good.
It modern day, or they just change the language?
It's modern day and the language. But it's not, like, super modern. I mean, like,
okay,
I think she's really rich, so there's still a formality to it. Mm-hmm. Like, her family's really wealthy.
So how do they get away with the abuse?
They're just like, it's not so much, or I guess it is, they make it that it's fun. They make it that it's not like, he never hits her.
That it's not like, you can't eat or sleep until you submit.
Yeah, he just is like, constantly playing games with like her food and stuff, which is how it is in a good production. You'll see him like bringing out the food and then being like, oh, it's too bad, and like pulling it away from her. And it just becomes where they're like in love, and they both are actually really vulnerable people, and they have that moment in that scene specifically where they're both like, I'm actually like super freaked out by love, but I kind of like you. Do you kind of like me? Whatever, if you don't, it's not a big deal. Like that kind of thing, which I relate to a lot.
I know you do.
Yeah.
It's the story of your life.
It's the story of my life. And then they do that final speech. She has a version of that, but it's very like...
wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
To him, kind of. Where like her mom, because they make Baptiste a girl, which I also think is
ooh,
strong.
Ooh, that's smart. That's
strong
really
choice.
Smart.
And that Bianca works. Are just like, wait, what? And she's like, yeah, you guys should be submitting to your husbands. She like puts her hand on his shoulder, and he's like, and he like holds her hand. And she says like you can, I'll put my hand beneath your foot. I think she actually says that in this one. And he like takes it and like kisses it. And he's like,
aww.
In a way of like, I would never do that to you.
That's aww. Nice.
That is nice.
That
which
works.
A good production does as well.
Yes. In a good production is to dislike Catherine at the beginning.
Yeah.
So that way we like her transformation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
So, because me reading it, I was like all about her, her independence and how strong she is at the beginning. But if she's really horrible and terrible to everyone around her, then it makes it so we want her to get better.
Something has to
Something has to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so we're going to read a scene. It is Act 2, Scene 1. And in this, we see pretty much the only time Catherine's not in a room with a man, which is crazy when you really think about it. That's the other thing. We never get to know who she really is because we never see her alone.
Yeah. She barely talks, too.
Yeah.
She really doesn't talk too much.
So this scene is in Baptiste's house, and we see her interaction with her sister.
Good sister, wrong me not, nor wrong yourself, to make a bondmaid and a slave of me that I disdain. But for these other goods, unbind my hands. I'll pull them off myself. Yea, all my raiment to my petticoat, or what you will command me, will I do, so well I know my duty to my elders.
Of all thy suitors here I charge thee, tell whom thou lovest best. See thou dissemble not.
Believe me, sister, of all the men alive, I never yet behold that special face which I could fancy more than any other.
Minion, thou liest. Is not Hortensio?
If you affect him, sister, here, I swear, I'll plead for you myself, but you shall have him.
Oh, then belike you fancy riches more. You will have Gremio to keep you fair.
Is it for him you do envy me so? Nay, then, you jest, and now I will perceive you have but jested me with all this while. I prithee, Sister Kate, untie my hands.
If that be jest, and then all the rest was so.
Burn.
Oh, I wanted to talk about how, you know, we often talk about Catherine as this victim who gets abused, but it is justified in the sense that we see her abuse me.
Yeah, we do.
Terribly.
Right.
She binds my hands, she slaps my face. For what? Because she's jealous of me? Because
right.
she men want me and
right.
not her?
Mm.
So it makes it kind of okay that she gets the same treatment.
Yeah, it
later
just makes
on.
It not so much okay, but understandable why
justified.
Shakespeare was like, yeah, this will be good.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
fine.
It makes us not hate Petruchio so much.
Right.
Because he's, again, yeah, he's teaching her the lesson that she needs to learn.
Right.
Right. Well, thank you so much for coming,
hey.
Bianca.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We'll let you get back to your happy married life.
Yes, he's lovely.
I'm Allison Powell.
I'm Beverly Jean.
Deuces, peasants.
So,
I want you to do my wedding ceremony. And I want it to be that.
It might be.
Marriage is marriage. Registration, so you married.
You're done now. That's it. You're married. Good luck with the divorce. You might get your head cut off.